just a very brief comment to leave time for one or two others. We mentioned this morning this, and I've been enjoying this more and more. Turn to 1 Timothy. I want to relate this to a little bit in a practical way to what we had in Ephesians and what we're enjoying. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 2, just a phrase there, unto Timothy, mine own son, in the faith. There was a tremendous relationship of love and closeness between Paul and brethren. I'm just going to make some applications before I sit down. And I would like us, to each of us, listen to this as though this is the beloved apostle speaking to you and me. In his love for Christ and the church, and to encourage us to go on, to know that we're beloved. Isn't that amazing? I'm beloved. Beloved of the Lord. And he says in 1 Timothy, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And he goes on and he talks about the importance of having the doctrine, you might say cutting in a straight line the doctrine. And understand, I'm applying this now, I'm making an application. Morally, today, you might say that we're hearing, as it were, the same instruction. Abide at Ephesus. Abide at Ephesus. That is, don't give up those precious, wonderful truths. And what we heard this morning that is so heartwarming, that you look at Ephesus, at Ephesians, and you think of all the blessings we have, but think of what, I say reverently, God is receiving and getting from this, and going to get from this. And so let's just take this from Paul. Abide at Ephesus. Stay there. Don't leave that. Don't give up that doctrine. Now, abide still at Ephesus. Much more that could be said. I'll just leave that and leave it to you, beloved ones, to ponder if the Lord leads you that way. But turn now to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. We read this morning. And again, Timothy is getting instructions. The difference is, the first epistle, things, as we often have been told, in general, things were in order. The church was in order. Paul had not been, you might say, he wasn't awaiting his martyrdom. And there were those who loved him dearly and listened and learned and walked with the Lord because of that. But here, in 2 Timothy, everything is in disorder. It's a day of perilous times. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, or difficult days shall be there. We're facing those. We're feeling those. And I'm not here to be negative, but this is a difficult day. And so what does he say? I think this is precious. He says down in verse 15, he didn't have to say this in the first epistle, down in verse 15 of chapter 1, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. What's one of the assemblies that's in Asia? The first one addressed by the Lord in Revelation. I believe it's called Ephesus. Abide still at Ephesus. Don't give it up. Because the day will come when not Christianity, but Paul's doctrine, Paul's teaching, will be given up and turned away from. And so he longs that Timothy not do that. And then he talks about a saint. The Lord, verse 16, give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. That, brethren, is where I think you and I are today. That we could not be ashamed of the chain that professing Christianity has put around Paul's doctrine today. It won't have it. It's put a chain around it. And so he says, the Lord give mercy. And I want to read that from Mr. Darby's translation in verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me and has not been ashamed of my chain, but being in Rome, sought me out very diligently and found me. Without going into it, for the sake of time, probably Onesiphorus had been martyred when Paul wrote this. Because he talks about the Lord showing mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. And this man was not ashamed of Paul, and he sought him out diligently when he was in Rome. And I want to suggest, brethren, in application, that you and I need to diligently today, my beloved young people, all of us, diligently today seek for Paul in Rome. That's the foundation of Christianity. You get justification by faith. You get how is it that God can be a righteous, holy God and still save this sinner? And be righteous in bringing this sinner to heaven. And be righteous in having in past eternity picked me, picked you, to be part of the display of His glory. So when things are all in confusion and breakdown and trouble, the Lord says, when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The gospel is the beginning, the basis. And we're in a difficult day. And much is being given up. So let's diligently seek for Paul. I think it's quite striking in God's sovereign ways, not the Holy Spirit as revealing by the Holy Spirit, but God's sovereign ways allowing us to have the Bible in the order. And you have Romans first. And then once you have the foundation of faith, justification by faith, then you come to solving or dealing with some problems. One is worldliness, and that's Corinthians, and one is evil doctrine, and that's Galatians. And once you're beyond those two, where do you come to? You come to Ephesus. And so Paul says, the Lord grant unto him, verse 18, that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord in that day. That's a coming day. It's not here yet, but it's coming. And we're going to meet this dear saint. I think he was gone by now, but I wouldn't press that. But I want to close by reading just this one verse. There's a multitude of application here that I would encourage us to get into our hearts as we go through this day, this very dark, perilous time. And not give up Paul. Not be ashamed of his chain. And abide at Ephesus, but diligently seek him out at Rome. And find him there and hold on to those truths. And in the verse that I'll just end with is this. Jude, Verse 3, you don't even need to turn to it. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. What's the common salvation? Well, I'm going to say that if you'll diligently seek for Paul in Rome, you'll find the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. He diligently sought for Paul at Rome. He found him, and it may have cost him his life. And in a way, an application, if you and I diligently seek for Paul in Rome, and diligently seek to hold on to the truths, earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints, that's the whole Word of God, the faith. It's not just a piece of it. But earnestly contend for it. Well, you got to read it. And I have to love this. And love it enough to read it and study it and get it into my heart out of love for Christ. And then it says, that was once delivered to the saints, earnestly contend for it, and it'll cost us our life. Not necessarily our physical life, but it will cost a life so that the world, as one said to me years ago, because they had seen some things I had done, and they said, well, you need to carry that on. You can really do something with that ability. And many of you have heard that very same thing. And I said, well, I've really recently begun to enjoy the Lord. And I want to follow Him. And he said to me, a fellow teacher, Nicolette, you are wasting your life. No, I'm not. That was 40 years ago, about. And I thank God for what the Lord has done. Diligently seek for Paul in Rome and find him. It'll cost you your life, and it'll give you joy unspeakable now and for all eternity.